Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Mi'ilah Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before learning the Gemara, let us glance at the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis. You will notice that we have a nosei, a topic heading. In truth, at the very end of our previous shiur, we discussed this a bit, but in order to get into today's shiur, it's worth looking at this topic heading once again. We have written on the outside margin of Daf Vav Amud Beis, under the Nosei heading, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan's teaching, Hod Yama Rabbi Akiva de Zrika Mo'ila Gam Al Yotzei. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, in opposition to Rabbi Elazar, that the sprinkling of the blood of a sacrifice whose meat had left the Azora, when you're dealing with Kochi Kochim, is actually effective, and it removes the Kochei Kochim from Mi'ila. Rabbi Yochanan qualifies Rabbi Akiva's teaching by saying that Hainu Bitnai Delo Yotzeku, that's on condition that all of the sacrifice didn't exit, just part exited. As we pick up today's shiur, the second line from the bottom of Daf Vav Amud Beis, you will notice a triangle. This is used as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. Under our mivneh, our structural note that you can see there, the triangle is going to appear in two directions, with the point or the tip facing upwards. Those are kushos al hanal. They will represent their questions or challenges to Rabbi Yochanan's teaching. When you notice the triangle flipped over with the point facing down, those represent the responses. So we start now with a question. Omar Le Rav Asi Rav Yochanan. Kvar Limduni Chaveray Shebegola. Rav Asi says that his colleagues in the diaspora had taught him the following. Now we're at the top of Daf Zayin Omar Aleph. Mechashvin Al Ha'ovud V'Al Hasoruf. Mechashvin has to do with an incorrect mindset that we refer to as a Pigol mindset. If we look at Rashi at the top, Mechashvin ala Ovid v'alasov, she'im nisrifu ha'imurim. If you have a sacrifice whose innards, for example, in the case of Kochim Kalim, the innards are offered on the Mizbeach. Let us say that the innards got burnt up. And v'chishev bezrika, when we say got burnt up, means not on the Mizbeach, but destroyed. V'chishev bezrika almanas lahaktiron chutz lizmanon. And when sprinkling the blood, one had a mindset to offer these emurim that had already been destroyed and are non-existent. He had a machshava to offer those emurim outside the right time. Havi pigul. She'oichel min ha'bosar, the sacrifice will become pigul, to the extent that one who eats from the meat of that sacrifice, oshem nimtzu, or if those emurim happen to be found in a situation where they had been lost, ha'echlan, one who eats of the sacrifice, chayav kores, he will be guilty of kores. In other words, the pigol mindset takes effect on what? On ovud v'sorof. Now, the Gemara goes on to say, ovud v'sorof lo isinun ba'olam, whether it's lost or it's burnt up, it's not around at all. Ve'afilu hachi katoni mechashvin. And even so, we see that the incorrect mindset does take hold. In other words, the machshava takes hold. So by the same token, when you're dealing with
a korban that was completely yotze from the azara. The meat was completely left the azara, and you would think it's as if it's not around at all. Nevertheless, let the zrika that you do be effective. Just like we said that, just like we saw that an incorrect mindset takes hold, let the zrika sadam be effective to extricate the sacrifice from evil, even though none of it is remained in the azara. So this is Rav Asi's challenge to Rav Yochanan. Why do you, Rav Yochanan, qualify Rabbi Akiva in saying that zrika will be effective in the case of yotzei only if part was yotzei, but not if it was all yotzei, claiming that if it's all yotzei, if it's all outside the azara, it's as if it's not there? Here we have an example of a korban that's actually not there, and yet the machshava does take effect. The Gemara responds, Umi Omar Rav Asi Hachi. Did Rav Asi really say such a thing, that if it was Yotza Kulo, if it was completely outside the Azara, if the Korban in question was had completely exited the Azara, the Zrika would be or should be effective? Ha Bo'a Mine Rav Asi Mer Yochanan. Rav Asi asked of Rav Yochanan a question. Chishev l'nishpachin l'mochor mahu. Let us look at the Rashi to appreciate this. V'ha bo minei Rav Asi m'Rav Yochanan chishev l'nishpachin l'mochor mahu. Nishpachin equals shiorei hadam. It's the unused blood. Shoyashofech La'yesod hamizbeach, that was poured after you did the sprinklings of the blood. The shiorei hadam referred to here is the shirayim that would be spilled at the base of the mizbeach, become a bayalei. And the question that Rav Asi raised was chishev b'shach shvichas hashirayim, if one had a mindset, a pigul mindset, while spilling the residual blood, al minas lechol kizayis, with the intention of eating an olive quantity of the sacrificial meat, chutz lizmano, dahinu lemochar, mahu. Mi chashiva homachshova dinishpochen lefagel, is this kind of mindset during the act of shvichas shirayim considered of significance to create pigul, kamoi machshova dezrika atzma oiloi? Is it viewed like a machshava during the actual sprinkling of the blood before you, in other words, the initial blood before, at the point that you're achieving the actual atonement, where we know that a pigul mindset takes hold? So the question Rav Asi asks does the pigul mindset take hold when you are doing the shvichas shirayim? Omar le Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera responds and says, "Kvar shonis lanu olol." Olol is referred to in Maseches Chulin. In Maseches Chulin, Daf Kuf Chof Aleph Omed Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan explains that olol is, as Rashi there says, "Gid Hashedra Vatzavor." It's a type of neck sinew that's very hard and basically close to unedible. Regarding that, Rabbi Zero says, you taught us regarding the olol. Rashi here says, the Omar Le Rabbi Zera Kvar Shonis Lanu Olol. The Snad Ba'orva wrote of that is the name of the ninth parak of Chulin. Hakipa Va'olol Mitstarfin Lutumas Oichlin Avolol Lutumas Nevelos. Kipon Olol are different parts of, different types of, or pieces of meat that people don't sit down to eat in and of themselves. So they do join up to create a situation of Tumas Oichlin, but not Tumas Nevelo. In other words, if you have a dead animal and you take the kippah and olal from a dead animal, it doesn't add up to a olive quantity of animal nevela, dead animal meat, to convey tumas nevela. The kevon de les bay mashosha, since it is of no significance, very, very insignificant, lo mitame tumas nevelos, it doesn't communicate the ritual impurity associated with a dead animal. The Gemara continues on the fifth line from the top, almo hai olol, kevon de les bay mashosha. You see from Rabbi Yochanan's teaching regarding olol, that since it has less bay mashaza, it has no significance. It's like it's not there. Lo mekabel tuma. It doesn't receive tuma. Hani nishpochin nami. The blood that is to be spilt out at the base of the mizbeach, kevon deleibud asli, it is going to loss or to destruction. It's not used for sprinkling on the side of the mizbeach. It's spilled out as a residual or waste blood, if you will, and therefore it's lo mahanya buhu machshava. Machshava doesn't take effect. An incorrect mindset during an activity of no significance does not take effect. Now, how does that tie into our discussion? So Rashi points out that regarding Yotza Kulo as well, it's a sacrificial meat that completely left the Azora is destined to be burnt. It is to be destroyed. And it's therefore as if it's not there at all. And therefore, it makes sense to say that Zrika will have no effect to extricate it from Mi'ila. So when you have a case of Yotza Kulo, it in fact makes sense to say that the Zrika will not be effective. Notice, as far as the structure of the Gemara is concerned, up till this point we were dealing with a section with an inverted triangle. The inverted triangle is essentially a response, an answer on behalf of Rabbi Yochanan's din. And Rabbi Yochanan's din was that if it's Yotza Kulo, then Rabbi Akiva doesn't say that the Zrika will be effective in being Motzi et Midei Me'ila. Now, a question. Ela Dikotoni. Well, what about that which we saw earlier at the top line, where it said Al Ha'avud regarding Mechashvin Al Ha'avud V'Al Ha'Soruf? Kashya, does that not pose a difficulty? Where we saw that a Pigal mindset does take hold on something that's not there. And we were drawing a parallel between that and Yotza Kulo and the Zrikas Hadam. Answer, Omar Rava, Emo, rather say, Al ha'oimed li'ibud, v'ha oimed lisraf. Rashi explains, and we read this inside, at the bottom of the last of the narrow lines, Omar Rava, Emo, mechashvin, Al ha'oimed li'aved, v'ha ha'oimed lisraf. The cave of the Bishas Rika, we're talking about a machshava on something that has not yet been lost or burnt. It's still around, and therefore came the Bishas Zrika, since at the time of the actual sprinkling of the blood, Kishechishev, when he had his incorrect mindset, his Pigal mindset, Akati Havu Kamon, the meat was still there. Afagav the Shuv Nevdu O Nisrafu, even though subsequently it was lost or burnt up, Mehanyabu Machshava, the incorrect mindset does take effect, because it was still there at the time of the sprinkling. But the issue that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Akiva are dealing with is where all of the meat was completely left the Azora before Zrika. It is as if it's not there at all at the time of Zrika. The sprinkling that you do under such circumstances will not be beneficial for extricating the sacrifice from Mi'ila. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin under our nosei, our topic heading, where we have written, Ha di Amar Rabbi Kiva de Zrika Me'ilas Liyotse, that which Rabbi Kiva said that Zrika is effective on a sacrifice that left the Azara, Hainu di Yotza HaBosar, that's a reference to where the meat of the korban left the Azara, Vagam Im Chazar Achar Yitziyoso, and likewise when it came back after it had exited. Avo yotza hadam viachaka chazar vizarak mimenu eino mo'il. However, if the blood of the sacrifice left the azara and then came back for sprinkling, it would not be effective. It wouldn't be an effective sprinkling to extricate the sacrifice from mi'ila. The Gemara. Omar of Papa. Lo Omar Rabbi Akiva zrika me'elos liyotze elo shiyotza bosar. That which Rabbi Kiva said that Zrika is effective for a korban that left the Azara, that's only when you're dealing with the meat that had left. Avol yotza dam. But if the blood left the Azara and then came back, ein Zrika me'elos liyotze. The Zrika will not be effective when you're dealing with blood that was yotze. Tanyo nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this. Shochat b'shtika v'yotza dam, person slaughtered a sacrifice. B'shtika literally is in silence, meaning without any problematic mindset. And the dam then left the azara. The afapi shechozav azarkai, even though the dam was brought back and he did the sprinkling, lo asav lo klum. The sprinkling is ineffective, and that ineffectiveness is manifest one in aleph b'kodshe kodshim mo'alim bo. If you are dealing with a high-level sanctity sacrifice, so there will still be me'ila on the meat, and b'kodshem kalim, regarding the lower-level sanctity sacrifices, where the issue concerns the innards, ein mol in bo, the innards don't enter the realm of me'ila, which would have taken place had everything been proper. Omar Rabbi Akiva, Vaharei Hamafrish Vichule. Before we read on in the Gemara, let's glance at the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading for this section. Hoychachas Rabbi Akiva, this will be Rabbi Akiva's proof of his point of view, the dino, for his law, Shezrika Psula Mo'ilo, that a problematic or an invalid kind of blood sprinkling nevertheless does have an effect, and he proves it midin mafrish chatosoi v'ovda v'chulei, from the case where a person had set aside a sin offering, it got lost, he then set aside a replacement one, and the two animals, and he found the lost one, and the two chatos offerings were in front of him. Rabbi Akiva demonstrated that the blood sprinkling of the one korban that you choose, the one of the two that you choose, is effective in removing an iser mi'ila from the second one that you do not use, even though that second animal is unfit. It's puzzle, because a person brings only one sin offering, not two. Well, hainu dafka b'sheshochton b'vasachas, that which Rabbi Akiva proves his halacha using the chatos analogy. This is only true if the two sin offerings were slaughtered simultaneously. V'lo im shachtan bozeh achazeh, but not if they were slaughtered one after the other. In other words, if you had slaughtered the chatos one after the other, then Rabbi Akiva would not say the halacha that the sprinkling of the blood of one will remove the other one from the realm of Me'ila. But Gemara Ba'omid Beis, Yavoi Reish Lakish Lachlig V'loimar Degam Bozeh Achar Zeh Moil. On Omid Beis of our Gemara, Reish Lakish will enter the picture and say that even in the case of Zeh Achar Zeh, it will be effective. Denech Shoven Keguf Echot. The two Schatos are considered like one entity, one unit. But Rabbi Yochanan will deflect that claim of Reish Lakish. The Gemara. Omar Rebbe Lazar. Ki Omar Rebbe Akiva. When did Rebbe Akiva say his din that the blood sprinkling of one sin offering exempts the other from Mi'ilah? That's Bevasachas. That's when the two sin offerings were slaughtered simultaneously. Namely, there were two people that were slaughtering and at one time. The Ratza Mizeh Zarek, the Ratza Mizeh Zarek. He had a choice. He could choose either one for the Zrika, so the choosing of one, the one that he chooses isn't really any better than the other one. Avol bazeh achar zeh lo omar Rabbi Akiva, but where they were slaughtered one after the other, then Rabbi Akiva does not say his din. And the reason for that, Rashi explains, is that as soon as the first one was slaughtered, the second sin offering becomes called a moiser chatos, and a moiser chatos is really a korban that's destined or set aside to die. If he went ahead and shechted it and slaughtered it anyway, that doesn't change its status as being a moiser chatos, and being that it has that label of a moser chatos, an unnecessary or an extra chatos, the sprinkling of the one does not exempt the second one, or has no effect on the second one to extricate it from Mi'ilah. We have a Tanaic source that you will notice continues till Omid Beis. The frame section continues down the first five lines of Omid Beis. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Shimon, Kishalachti l'Kfar Pani, when I went to this place called Kfar Pani, Motzasi Zokin Echad, I met a sage, the Omar Li, and he asked of me, Oimer Hoya Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mayalis Liyotze, does Rabbi Akiva say that the sprinkling of the blood will be effective to remove from Mi'ilah a sacrifice that left the Azorah? Amarti Lohem, I answered him, yes, he does say that. Ukshabasi v'hirtzesi dvorim lefnei chaverai shebegolil. Rabbi Shimon continues his story and says that when I came and told over my words to, my teaching to my colleagues in Golil, Omru li, they said to me, hello, Apostle who? Heich Muratz al Apostle. How a korban that was a yotze from the Azara, a sacrifice that left the Azara, is rendered unfit. How can the sprinkling of the blood be effective for something like that? Effective insofar as removing the Me'ilah prohibition from it. And then Reb Shimon goes on to tell that when I then reported my teaching to Rabbi Akiva, Omar Li, Beni I Ata Omer Kain, he said to me, and do you not agree that the Zrika on a Yotze is effective? Vare Hamafrish Chatosov Yavda, Vehifrish Achiris Tachtel. This is what we saw in our Mishnah, where a person had set aside a sin offering, and it got lost, and he then set aside a replacement one. V'achar kach nimseis harishona, v'arei shtei hanogos, and then he found the lost one, and they're both in front of him. Moyalin b'shtein. Both are subject to the Me'ilah prohibition. Shochtan, v'arei domon munach b'koises, moyalin b'shtein. If they were both slaughtered, and the blood of each one is in its respective receptacle, until the sprinkling is done, there still is Mi'ilah. Nizrak dam shel echod mehen, if the blood of one of them is sprinkled. Iata moide, would you not agree Shekeshem Shidoma Poiter is Bisora Minamila, just like the sprinkling of the blood of the one cup that you choose exempts that animal from Mi'ila, Kach Yiftor Basar Chaverta Minamila. Likewise, the meat of the second animal will also be exempted from Mi'ila, even though it's a Mosar Chatos, even though it's unnecessary. In potar bosar chaverto min ha-mi'ila, afal pi shu posel, if it is so that the sprinkling of the blood can exempt the other one from mi'ila, even though that second chatos is invalid, din hu shiiftor es besora. So all the more so that it's only so right to say that the sprinkling of the blood will exempt from mi'ila the animal itself, even though it happened to be Yotze. Omar Reish Lokish, Mishum Raboshaya. Tshuva Genuva Hashiva Rabbi Akiva Le'Oisei Talmid. Tshuva Genuva is an expression meaning a weak answer, or a faulty answer, an answer that therein lies a problem or an error. Bevas achas in boze achar ze lo. The example that Rabbi Kiva had said was he had slaughtered the two of them. That expression of the shochet eshtem is mashma that he slaughtered them simultaneously. They were the two sin offerings were slaughtered simultaneously, just like Rebbe Lozer had explained before the Tanaic source. So Reish Lakish says that claiming that the effectiveness of the sprinkling of one to cover the other animal is only in the case where the two sin offerings were slaughtered simultaneously, that is not true. And he goes on to say, the kevon de poselhu, since that second sin offering is invalid, is unnecessary, and hence useless and posel, mali bebas achas mali boze acharze. What difference does it make whether they were slaughtered simultaneously or one after the other? If Rabbi Kiva is willing to say that the sprinkling of the blood of one exempts the other, even though the other one is posel, so that same logic should hold even if they were slaughtered one after the other, being that these two sin offerings are considered a guf echad, considered one entity. Omar le Rabbi Yochanan le Reish Lakish ve'ata i'ata omer kein, and you are not going to agree that there is a difference, namely that only if they were slaughtered, only if they were slaughtered together would the sprinkling help. Ilu hifrishtei ashamos lachrayas. Imagine someone needed to bring an osham offering, and he set aside two of them, one to serve as achrayas, as a backup for the other. In the case that one would get lost, so he would have another one available. Veshochat es shnehem, and he slaughtered both of them. V'kidam v'helo emurim shel echod mehem koidim zrika. And he brought the innards of one of those animals up onto the mizbeach before the sprinkling of the blood took place. And then he went ahead and did the sprinkling of the blood of the other animal whose innards he did not bring up on the Mizbeach. I ato moide, would you not agree, shim olu yerdu, that the innards of the first one, if they were brought on the Mizbeach, like we described, they shall be brought down, because he is doing the zrikas hadam of the second animal. Now, v'i salka daito chad gufo hu, if you were to think that these two are considered like one entity, and that and therefore there would be a heter if even if they were slaughtered one after the other, amayim olu yerdu. Why do you say that if they were brought up, if the innards were brought up, they should be brought down? Ha'omar ula. Ula teaches emure kachim kalim sheherlon lifnei zrikas dam lo yerdu. That just because the emurim were brought up prematurely before the zrikas hadam, that is not a reason for them to be brought taken off the mizbeach. Nase lach moishel mizbeach. Once the emurim, the innards, are brought onto the top of the mizbeach, they become like the literally the bread of the mizbeach, the food of the mizbeach. And yet, you will agree that in the case of the two ashamas, where he brought the innards of one onto the mizbeach, the zrikas hadam that he does from the second one doesn't help keep the emurim of the first one on the mizbeach. So you see that in the slaughtering of them, one after the other, they're not viewed as one entity. Ishtik, Reish Lakish, remained speechless. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, who had challenged Reish Lakish, says, Katzatz tinun l'ragloi dianuka. Literally, as I cut down the feet of the young man. In this case, it's a reference to Reish Lakish, who was a student of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says that I gave him a definitive response, and he uses this expression, Katzatzinu l'ragloi dianuka. Let us glance at the Rashi on the lower part of the narrow lines. You'll notice a section that's dashed, underlined. Rashi points out, Elo mida amrinon de yerdu, from the fact that in the case of the oshams that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned, that the innards of the one that were brought up before the sprinkling of the blood of the other one took place, we say they innards are to be brought down. Shmamino, we see from here, Dalav Mishum Dechad Gufahu. The fact that you had these two sacrifices, one of which you needed and the other one you didn't, they're not viewed as one unit, one entity. Elo Hainu Taimad Rabbi Akiva. Rather, Rabbi Akiva's point before regarding the Korban Chatos, that the sprinkling of the blood of one covers the other and gets it out of Mi'ila, is the Chishochat Shtein Bevas Achas Doma Poter Besar Chaverta. Only if they were slaughtered simultaneously do we say the blood of one exempts the flesh of the other from Mi'ila. Why? The Rotza Mizeh Zorek, the Rotza Mizeh Zorek. Because at that point he could have chosen either one of the bloods for the sprinkling. Velo ukminon taimo mishum dechad gufahu, and we're not going to explain the case of the chatos like Reish Lakish tried to say, that they are viewed as a single unit or a single entity, and therefore velo tshuva genuva hashibo, and therefore Rabbi Akiva's original response of the two chatos of shochton, as we saw in the source where the expression was shachton, where he slaughtered them, implying he slaughtered them simultaneously, that stands as being an accurate response. Turning to the Mishnah, before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the nosei, the topic heading in the outside margin. Totsos shonos mizrikas hadomim bein kochim kalim lekoche kochim. Different results of the sprinkling of dam, differences that you find in the case of koche kalim versus koche kochim. Number one, bekoche kochim lehokel ulahachmir. In the case of high level sanctity sacrifices, we will see cases of blood sprinkling that result in a leniency and in a stringency. Aleph, habosor yotze mime'ila, the result of the blood sprinkling of a kotche kotchim is the meat leaves the realm of mi'ila, and that's lahakel. You create exemption from the mi'ila restriction. Beis habosar ve'emurim achshav shayachim l'noisir tamei pigul l'hachmir. The meat and the innards are now subject to the penalties known as nosar, which is something that's left over beyond its time, tomei, and pigul. Pigul referring to that which was processed with an incorrect mindset. And that is l'hachmir. The fact that the flesh and the emurim now become subject to these sins, that's a chumrah, a stringency. Bekotchim kalim kulo lahachmir. With regard to the blood sprinkling in the realm of light level sanctity sacrifices, the net result is chumrah. The emurim shelifnei kein lohoyu b'mila. The innards that prior to the sprinkling were not subject to mi'ilah now become subject to mi'ilah. We will see as we go on in the Mishnah the use of different symbols. The diamond will highlight the word ketzad, where the Mishnah will offer an explanation for what it says at the beginning. And the crown shape is highlighting the word nimtza. And we've added simunim elu miu'adim lahavlid es hamivneh haklali shel ha-mishnah. These symbols are used to show, to highlight the structure, we'll call it the general structure of the Mishnah. So we open up the Mishnah. Maise domim is a reference to the zrikas hadam, the blood sprinkling. There is a result of leniency and a result of stringency. With regard to the blood sprinkling in the realm of kotchim kalim, the net result is stringency. Ketzad. Well, how do you explain this? So, you see we squiggle underline here, kotche kotchim. At the next diamond, you'll see a squiggle line, kotchim kalim. So, ketzad, kotche kotchim, lifnei zrikas domim, the high-level sanctity sacrifices before the blood is sprinkled, moyalin be'emureihem ubebosar. The innards and the flesh of kotche kotchim are subject to a me'ilah violation prior to the sprinkling. La'achar zrikas domim, moyalin be'emureihem ve'ein moyalin bebosar. After the zrikas adam, so the emurim, the innards, remain in the realm of iser mi'ilah, but not the blood, the basar. The flesh is removed or extricated from the mi'ilah penalty. V'alzeh, the basar and the emurim, after zrikas dam, chayav mishum pigul noisar v'tomei, become subject to these sins of pigul, nosar, and tomei. That's a stringency. Nimtza ma'isidomim bekotchei kotchim lahakel ulahachmir. The result of the zrikas adam of the kotchei kotchim is you have on the one hand a kula, which we mentioned was the extrication, the removal of the bosar from the realm of mi'ilah, and lahachmir, that was with regard to pigul, nosar, and tomei. Ubekotchim kalim kulon lahachmir, with regard to a light level or lower level sanctity sacrifices like a korban shlomim, a korban toida, a b'chor, the net result is stringency. Ketzad, kotchim kalim lifnei zrikas domim ein moalin, before the sprinkling of the blood takes place with regard to kotchim kalim, there is no mi'ilah, lo be'murim v'lo b'bosar, not with regard to the innards, nor with regard to the meat. The achar zrikas domim moyalin beimurin v'ein moalin bebosar. After the blood is sprinkled, there now sets in the me'ilah prohibition regarding the innards, but not with regard to the meat. Alzeh v'alzeh chayovin olav mishum pigul noiser v'tameh. After the zrika, there is, regarding the emurim and the bosar, the
violation of pigul noser and tomei. Nimsa maise domin bekotshim kalim kulo lachmir. You see from this that the result of the sprinkling of the blood has only halachic restrictions that result from the zrikas adam. Before going on in the Gemara, let us just glance at the outside margin under our no say heading. Mashmos loshon hamishneh dekatani ein moyalin bebasar achar hazrika. The Mishnah said that after the zrika there is no mi'ila regarding the meat. Ha isura ika. It implies though that there is still prohibition. The Gemara opens up with a quote from our Mishnah Kotani, Ein Molin Mabasar. This is with regard to the meat of Kotshe Kotshim. After the Zrika, we say there, if one were to eat of the meat of Kotshe Kotshim, after Zrika, so they're not in violation, they won't be guilty of Mi'ila. This implies, though, Mi'ila Hu Deleka, there may be no Mi'ila, Ha Isura Ika, but there is some kind of prohibition. V'amai, why is there any prohibition? Ha'mamoyna de kohen hu. This is now the property of the kohen. Kotshe kotshim, as many of you are familiar, are sacrifices that after they're slaughtered, the meat is distributed amongst the kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And they eat it. Why then does the language of the Mishnah imply that there's some type of prohibition or restriction concerning the meat after the Zrika? The Gemara answers, Loi kasha. This isn't a difficulty. Mishum de nosiv reisha moyalin, nosiv seifa ein moyalin. Since in the reisha of the Mishnah, the opening, the early part of the Mishnah, namely, kotshe kotshe before zrikas adam, the Mishnah had to say, there is mi'ila. Therefore, the seifa, in contrast, uses the expression ein mi'ila, but it's not there to infer from it that there is an isur. Eima seifa. Now, a quote from the latter part of the Mishnah. You can see we have a little arrow in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow you find a bit above, and you'll see where this is coming from. Bekotshim kalim kulu lahachmir ketzad. The sprinkling of the blood within the realm of Kotshim Kalim results in pure stringency. Basar Kotshim Kalim lefnei zrikas domim ein molin, bohen uve muriahim. The meat and the innards of Kotshim Kalim before the sprinkling of blood, there is no mi'ila. V'ein chayoven aleihem mishum pigul noser v'tomei. And there is also no violation of these three different types of offenses. The achas rikas domim moyalin beimureim v'ein moyalin babosar. After the zrikas adam is done, so there is no mi'ila on the meat, but there is now mi'ila regarding the innards. Now, in focusing on the meat after the zrikas adam, the Mishnah used the expression ein moyalin babosar. So mi'ila hu deleka ha isura ika. Are we to understand from here that there is no mi'ila, but there is a prohibition? V'amai, why should there be any prohibition? Ha mamoina de bailim hu. After zrikas adam is done on a kotshim kalim, the owner eats of his sacrifice. Where is there any room to say there's an iser? The Gemara answers, Omar Rabbi Hanina. That which we inferred that there is an Isser, that's because the Mishnah is talking about Le-Yoitzin for Rabbi Akiva He. This is a Mishnah, according to Rabbi Akiva, that spoke about the Zrikas Adam of Korbanos that left their area. Here is a case where the korban had left its restricted area, and then Zrikas Adam took place. Rabbi Kiva will tell us that even though the sprinkling is effective in removing mi'ila, it doesn't allow you to eat the Bosar that was Yotze. V'chi Omar, Rabbi Akiva Zrika Mo'elis Liyotze, L'Sreifa, Avlachila, Lo Meratze. Rabbi Akiva will tell you that the Zrika is effective in removing Me'ila from it. However, that doesn't mean that it's effective in enabling the meat to be eaten. Let us glance at the Rashi at the bottom. Omer Rabbi Hanina, liyotze kagon shiotza boser chutz mechitzaso. This source from which we implied or inferred that there maybe there's no meila, but there is an iser. It's talking about a case where the meat had left its precinct. In the case of kochim kalim, in all likelihood, it would have left Yerushalayim, because it's allowed to be in Yerushalayim. In the case of Kochim, it's a case where it left the Azora, the Shuv Nizrak Adam, and then the Dam, after the Boser had left its Mechitza, its domain, its precinct, then sprinkling took place, Rabbi Kiva he, and the Mishnah with its inference is according to Rabbi Kiva, the Yom HaZriko Me'elis Liyotze, who said that the Zrika, the sprinkling of the blood, is effective regarding sacrifices that left their precinct. The Chiyama Rabbi Kiva Zrika Me'elis Liyotze, that which Rabbi Kiva says that such a sprinkling is effective, that's Lahotzio Mimi'ila Ulahavio Lisrefa. That's to tell us that it leaves the realm of Me'ila, that if someone were to derive benefit at this point, he would not be in violation of Me'ila. However, it does bring the meat, to need burning. Velo la'alter kamo shar kochim psulim. Burning, yes, but not an immediate burning like other cases of invalid sacrifices. Ulochi mani le'zrika shein anisruf le'alter la'ad shetu bar tzurasa. The zrika is effective to the extent that it's not considered completely invalid, hence, and requiring an immediate burning, but rather it's left over. Tubar tsuroso is the meat is left over beyond its accepted time, and then it is to be burnt. However, but to suggest that there's effectiveness in the sprinkling of blood for a yotze to allow you to eat it, that far Rabbi Kiva never went. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.